I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm sure you're very well aware an Erie County jury has found both the property owner and the tenant of the Bethlehem Steel site negligent in the November 2016 fire, yeah. Literally just right outside your doorway here. Right. Just your thoughts in terms of that decision and what you heard.
I thought, great. I knew they were responsible, you know, and I did take some video one time after the fire. I don't know, maybe it's been spring after the fire. And they were cleaning up, you know, they had the hazmat suits on, and they had replaced the yellow police tape with white tape saying, asbestos danger, stay back. And there's kids hanging on the fence right by the tape. And I said, look at this. And so I had my iPad, and I had my wife hold the steering wheel, and I took video going down. They would rinse all the trucks off and everything. And I said, that place is loaded with asbestos. And then the next day, they lined up 12 dumpsters there so no one could take pictures. And I had the pictures for about 5-6 years, and I said, nothing's going to happen with that. So I just deleted them. And, that's what the attorneys said. They said, we wish you would have had those pictures. I said, well, I didn't think anything would happen.
Right. Yeah.
I said, we just didn't care.
What do you distinctly remember about that day? Is there anything in particular that sticks in your mind or in your wife's mind?
Mostly the explosions, because when it got to some of these buildings over here where they had stored RVs and boats and things like that, the propane tanks would start exploding, and it was just a terrible fire. They couldn't get at it. They had the water cannons go up because they came over here and they cut a hole in the fence and tried to drag a hose through there, but they couldn't do that. They didn't have enough hose, I guess. And it burned for quite a few days, and finally it went out. And when the fire was going, the day after the fire started, that's when the wind changed, and it all started coming this way. And I said, oh boy, I said, we cannot stay here. That's what I told her. I said, especially you with your breathing and everything. I said, we gotta get you out of here. But that's about it.
So it's been nearly 8 years since the fire. I mean, what has life been like for you and your wife since then?
We haven't paid much attention to it. Like I said, I didn't think anybody would do anything. My daughter came over with a pressure washer and washed the house and just generally cleaned up with the hose and everything. And the house smelled bad for a while. And the kids worked on it, and we got rid of the smell. But that's about it.
What challenges has this presented over the years for you or your wife? I know you said your wife has COPD. Has that been the biggest challenge, or what are some of the things that you've been challenged with?
This thing across the street here. Every politician that knocked on the door and asked for a vote, I said, I'll vote for you if you turn that down and put a park there for us. But I guess it'll just stay there, and that never would have went down except for that fire.
Yeah.
And like I said, once that grease and paint starts burning, you know, there's not much you can do about it.
Yeah.
And, it was that building there and three more buildings.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel that the decision that came down yesterday from the jury is justice for the residents that are still dealing with the problems?
I think so, yeah, because some people had it worse than we did. They were right across, directly across the street from the fire. Some of the siding melted, you know, and a lot of people had soot in their houses and smoke. And there's a lot of houses here that haven't been fixed or remodeled or anything. And of course, this one I've been working on for 50 years, so we were in fairly good shape except for the smell, you know. And that's about it.
Still a long road ahead, though, right? I mean, especially since now residents can actually file lawsuits.
Yeah, a lot of people are, a lot of people, they had the insurance guy came from Pittsburgh and right after the fire and said to me, he said, give me all your receipts from that day when you were evacuated. And, And he said, I'm going to write you a check. And I said, no, I said, I'm just going to hang on to them. I said, we'll wait and see what happens. I said, it's a few $100s and I'm not going to worry about it for now.
Yeah. Well, very good. Joe, anything else that you want to add that maybe we haven't discussed or anything that you can think of?
No, nothing I can think of, except that a lot of people are still very angry down the street here.
Sure. I'm sure of that.
Yeah. And they thought really that somebody would do something, especially with the asbestos. Well, they used to store tons of it right across the street there. And I know, I remember the guys they used it, the plumbers, they cut it with a handsaw. And the asbestos be flying everywhere. I said, oh, jeez. So I'd come home and I'd shake all my work clothes out before we washed them and everything, because I knew it was always like that in there. And I worked in all different departments. I was in electrical construction for a while, and then I came over here because they were making more money over here. I was a crane operator over here for about 74, 75 to 85 when I retired.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.